Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We're joined this segment by the Center for Security Policy's own Kyle Scheidler, director of our Threat Information Office. And Kyle, we have a threat that may be properly dealt with in either the upcoming lame duck session, or if not, almost certainly in the early days of a Trump administration. And that is our not good friends, our enemies, the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, these guys have been running rampant around the globe for a long time. They actually ran Egypt for a little while. And, you know, unbeknownst to far too many Americans, they've had an influence operation here in the United States for decades. They've done a great job infiltrating. They have a number of front groups such as CARE and the Islamic Society of North America that unfortunately get treated as if they are Muslim social welfare organizations, when in reality, they are Islamist organizations looking to push their agenda. And now we hear from one of Trump's foreign policy advisors, Waleed Faris, that they are hopeful that the legislation to designate the Muslim Brotherhood or tell the State Department to do so might pass in the lame duck, or they're asking for it to. What's your thoughts on designating the Brotherhood and basically calling one of our enemies by name?
Well, I think it's an absolute must, Jim, if we're ever going to get a handle on the global jihad movement and the threats that we currently face. Now, Waleed said that the Trump administration is definitely interested in designating the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, he can do that unilaterally. He can simply order the Secretary of State, whoever he ends up appointing, to do so. He doesn't require congressional approval to do that, and I'm hopeful that he will definitely take that step. However, I think it would send a strong signal if the U.S. Congress was to pass the designation bill in the lame duck session. It would essentially say that all three branches of the U.S. government are really behind this effort, that we really genuinely believe that this is something that needs to happen, as it does.
And for once, okay, the Republicans are going to control both houses and the presidency, and the American people have spoken, you know, quite loudly. And it's not like Trump had not telegraphed that he actually understands the Islamist threat. So like you pointed out, for the House and hopefully the Senate to go ahead and pass what's a non-binding call for the State Department to do that does take a politically thorny issue and give it the imprimatur of the U.S. Congress as well then as potentially the executive branch if Trump does this. Now, I think the difficulty lies in the need for that. And the need for that is that the Muslim Brotherhood, through these front groups, has been extremely effective at pushing a message that they're not the bad guys, that no one should be looking, you know, nothing to see here, move along, is essentially the, you know, the watch call of all of these organizations. So I think there will be a huge political backlash. Do you think the American people are far enough behind this that that can be overcome?
I think so. This has been the case for a while, that the American people really understand the threat posed by the Islamists in a way that really the leadership hasn't. I think if you talk to the average grandma in Iowa, you have a better chance of her knowing that CARE and ISNA, these groups you mentioned earlier, are tied to terror finance than if you spoke to your average staffer on Capitol Hill. That's a sad reality, but I think that's been the reality for some time. And that's been part of, I think, the surge that was behind the Trump election was a genuine understanding by large segments of the population that something was wrong in our security efforts. And so I think this is something that the American people genuinely want, and it shouldn't cause a lot of heartache for congressmen to go home and say to their constituents, yes, I voted to designate the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, where will it cause them heartache? It will cause them heartache when the Brotherhood political fronts like CARE and ISNA and the Muslim Political Affairs Council and Muslim American Society and all these groups come out and howl and whine and complain because obviously this is going to hurt them hard. But the reality is that plenty of evidence exists to designate the Muslim Brotherhood both in Egypt and elsewhere in the Middle East as a terrorist organization and to designate its entities here because of their roles in terror finance.
And plenty of other entities have already done this overseas, so it's not like we would be the first ones. There are other Muslim countries that have designated the Brotherhood as a terrorist group. So I think following their lead and following, as you mentioned, the common sense that these guys do not have our best interest at heart, and even the best interest of the Muslim community. They get proclaimed to be voices of the Muslim community, but what they do is they drown out the voices of anyone who disagrees with their hard line. So I think it's a bonus to be able to stop their nefarious activities and also to stop the silencing of other voices. I want to jump to a related situation. There is a campaign right now where Keith Ellison, who is a Democrat representative and a Muslim, has thrown his hat in the ring to be chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Now, Keith has problems, as we have pointed out, and you've done some stellar work in cataloging his bad connections, many of them with the very groups we're talking about that could end up, you know, being caught in this web of ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. He's spoken at their conferences. He's supported them. He's taken political contributions from them. He is pretty tainted as far as his connections with these groups, is he not?
He absolutely is, Jim, going all the way back to the very beginning of his political career. Now, Keith Ellison is a guy who, even if for a second you held off on the Muslim Brotherhood angle, he's still a very radical, very progressive Democrat. You know, you've got a guy that compared 9/11 to the Reichstag fire back in 2007, and this is who the DNC is looking at putting in as their chairman. That's pretty problematic.
Yeah, it says a lot about them.
Yes, it does. But you mentioned the ties. Yes, absolutely. Ties from CARE, ties to the Muslim American Society, which federal prosecutors said was the overt arm of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. He receives a lot of money from these organizations for his campaigns, and he in turn assists them by attending their conventions and their fundraisers and helping support them as well. He also defends them on Capitol Hill. As you know, there have been a number of really good committee hearings talking about the role of the Muslim Brotherhood in infiltration, penetration of the U.S. government and their impact on our security. And Keith Ellison is one of these guys that leads the charge to defend these organizations anytime the issue is brought up, and he will besmirch and target anyone that complains about it, even other Muslims, like our friend Zudi Jasser.
Do the Democrats know this, or do they just don't care? You know, it's back to the old Soviet appellation where are you a useful idiot or are you a fellow traveler? And I think at some level there is a collection of both in the leadership of the Democrat Party. They've decided to make common cause with groups they either should know or do know are Islamist in nature. And let's clarify, that's not all Muslims, but it's a larger percentage than anyone wants to admit do believe that Islam should be supreme, even over the U.S. Constitution. That's the belief behind the scenes of these groups, and that's why they are a problem, and that's why the Brotherhood is a problem. So do the Democrats just not care, or do they care more about CARE than they do about the United States?
Well, Jim, that's a good question. And, you know, some might argue that the Democrats are looking at the Muslim vote and they're looking at groups like CARE and saying that these Brotherhood organizations can deliver the Muslim votes for the Democrats. Now, there's no real evidence that this is true. We haven't seen it in other developed democracies like Britain, where Labour Party made a similar bet that the Islamist groups could deliver the Muslim vote for them. We haven't seen that in the United States. You know, CARE had a major million-man voter registration effort, but if you look at the votes, it doesn't really seem to have been that successful. So why are they so devoted to this? I think part of it is simply a desire to double down. Having lost to Trump and Trump's rhetoric on this issue, they feel obligated to rise to this challenge, even if it's a loser for them. You know, I think the logical thing to do would have been to look at the election and say, you know, how did we fail blue-collar workers? How did we fail lower-income voters and try to work towards that? But they haven't really done that. Instead, they've said, we want to push this social issue. We want to push these immigration issues, these security issues, because for some reason they think that's a winner for them, and I think they're mistaken.
Kyle Scheidler, director of our Threat Information Office at the Center for Security Policy, thank you for that cogent analysis. Up next, we will be talking with Gordon Chang. This is Jim Hansen, and you're listening to Secure Freedom Radio.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.